This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
Dale Park is the co-convener of the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby.
And newly elected president. Co-president.
Co-convener.
Co-convener. Get the language right.
That's right. They recently had an AG, their annual general meeting, where Emma Halliday was elected as your co-convener.
That's correct.
A co-convener. Yeah.
Coco.
Coco. We call ourselves Coco.
Yeah, Coco, yes. Yeah. Now, I was a co-convener 100 and so years ago as well.
That's great.
Should we call you Coco?
19 years.
Yes. And
should we call you Coco Park then?
Yeah, Coco.
Sure. I'm okay with that. I'm
Coco.
Right with that. I've been called worse.
Yes, so have I. So what I wanted to talk about, Dale, was, as I said earlier, we spoke with Senator Dean Smith and... You know, the question of where to next, mm-hmm. Our rights are always under threat. There are always people that want to roll it back. We're feeling good at the moment because the marriage equality, the survey, got an outstanding participation rate and result.
Yeah.
Dean thinks the legislation will get through the Senate. Did he say 95 to 98% intact?
He said about 95 to 98.
Okay.
Intact. He said there'd be... You know, I'm paraphrasing here, a bit of static in the background, and mm-hmm. but that it would get through. Now, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But we've seen some of this debate around nothing to do with marriage equality, but the debate that mm-hmm. took part during the survey around our rights. I see that they're continually under threat. What's your view?
Yeah, I think it's a really important time to... continue to ask that question, where next? You know, marriage is one item on the rights agenda, and we need to ensure that the great momentum that we've had doesn't kind of just dissipate and we think everything's achieved, because it's not. As well as legislative reforms for our rights, there's other really important issues, such as homelessness for LGBTIQ people. Yep. Trans and gender diverse sort of rights around birth certificates is a huge, huge issue that needs to be addressed and considered. So there's many, many issues that as a community we can continue to push forward on. And I think to use the momentum from the marriage equality debate, discussion, campaign to really push forward, I think, is a opportunity that we need to take advantage of.
Do you see, one of the things we talked about with Dean Smith was, you know, the moving of this discussion around religious freedom, mm-hmm. which of course is going to be used, you know, as a mask for everything else that people would like to see changed into the new year. He actually put a bit of an upbeat tone on, and he did that. What would happen is, okay, we've got Kevin Ruddock. Kevin Ruddock? Is that his name?
Philip.
Philip Ruddock. Kevin Ruddock. what an idea. Who's going to be doing
it? I think Philip Ruddock's bad enough.
Yes. Yeah. Anyway, going to be investigating it. But Dean thought this might actually work in our favour, because when we actually look at it, they might find that there isn't a threat to religious freedom in Australia. Because he said...
Yeah.
Of course, people are talking about Christian religious freedom. He said, well, that's only part of the story.
Absolutely. I mean, I think if we can take an upbeat look on this, that's great.
We need to.
We do. I think we also need to be really conscious of the fact that the person conducting this review has been a marriage equality naysayer, opponent, and, you know, back in 2006 was in charge of...
Active opponent.
Was the person who was in charge of stopping an Australian man from marrying his partner in Holland. So we need to be conscious of that, but I think we can still remain upbeat that actually our legislation quite rightly does protect religious freedoms, and that is important. And what we need to ensure that this debate doesn't do is exclude LGBTIQ people of faith, because there are and supporters of equality in general who are from a faith-based background. So I think that's really important, and hopefully what good can come from this discussion and this review is that we see, and it's really acknowledged, that faith and religious protections are
aren't under threat.
Exactly.
So Dale, you know, we hear this term religious freedom bandied around a fair bit. I'm beginning to feel that it's actually a pseudonym for something else.
It's a code word.
Okay. For something else. I think what it really means is that, you know, for those people who have a particular point of view, that their view should exercise control or right. But really, what does religious freedom mean? And if we are to unpack that, how does it play itself out?
And I think that's a really important point, because if we were to consider and to look at the reasons why we have legislation around religious freedoms, it's because people in the past have been persecuted, they've been killed, they've been, you know, violently assaulted because of their religious beliefs. And so we recognize that it's really important that people are able to have a belief and practice that and to enjoy that equality as all of us should. But I agree, that doesn't mean that one equality should step in and replace another's. Anna Brown from the Human Rights Law Center wrote something really amazing around the Patterson Bill first came out, and kind of talked about there was the famous quote around, "Your right to swing a fist stops when it hits my face," essentially. And I think that's a really powerful thing. Like, we have the rights to our views and our beliefs, but that doesn't mean that it should get in the way of individuals' freedoms.
I often think the debate should be called the debate about religious fiefdom. Because intrinsically, this debate, if you really want to have a debate about religious freedom, we talk about, and it's predominantly in this country, the debate is led by people of Christian faith. Now, all the other faiths, or as I call them, all the other franchises, they're not getting a look in into this debate. Those people don't believe that those other religions have the same validity as theirs.
I don't know if you watched the 7:30 report the other night, but our very own PM, in fact, blamed the Muslim faith community for the no vote.
I mean, I have so many comments on that.
Come on, just ask.
Give us one.
You have 30 seconds.
Give us one.
I just think it's really divisive, and it's really damaging to go out there and blame a particular group or a particular community. You know, when we get an overwhelming yes, it is important to look at where the no's were and think about why that is and how we can actually work better to understand, you know, why it may be a no. And if we go out and blame a particular group or a particular religion, there are undoubtedly people who live in those communities who are LGBTIQ.
Yes.
What message are we sending to them?
Exactly.
We need to build a relationship and let them know that they're not alone. There was some really great responses from LGBTIQ people of faith and from culturally and linguistically diverse backgrounds who talked about, you know, the yes and the great outcome from that was completely undermined by people blaming their cultural background for the no. You know, which is what an alienating message that sends.
He was dog whistling.
Yeah,
he was dog whistling. So where to for the lobby? What's going to form the basis of your work for the next for the next year?
So because we are a Victoria-based organisation, we look at things from a state-based perspective. Obviously, we have an election at the end of the year, so that will be a huge driver moving forward. Some of the topics that I think are really key to understand about from the political parties moving forward are around protecting LGBTIQ youth in schools. Also, religious exemptions, you know, teachers at faith-based schools.
Oh, but that's religious freedom.
Teachers at faith-based schools can, you know, can still be fired if they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans, intersex. You know, this is something that needs to be addressed in faith-based hospitals as well. So, you know, there's some of the issues, as well as obviously continuing to push for birth certificate reform for trans and
Gender diverse people. You know, Matthew Guy thought that safe schools, that Matthew Guy said he was bullied at school because he was short.
Yeah.
So he thought that that was the level of the response.
Yeah.
And if you remember it, Tass, when we spoke to him about that. That was the relevant, that he thought that safe schools, you know, he thought it was nonsense, but that he was, because he's a shorter person, he was bullied at school, he thought it was the same thing.
And I guess the sad thing about that is he's not understanding the wider impact that LGBTIQ people have. When he goes home, his parents aren't going to make fun of him because he's short. They're going to support him and love him and make that a safe space. LGBTIQ youth don't necessarily always have that.
Absolutely, yeah. We have run out of time, unfortunately, Dale. Let's get you back again.
Yes, certainly.
It's always good. And glad to see that, you know, the lobby's there. It's strong. It's continuing to advocate. It's renewing itself. Good stuff.
Thank you
very much.
Keep
up the great work.
Thank you.
Good on you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.